Annette delivered his guitar, but he found it difficult to play. Instead, he asked her to sing their favorite hymns. Ron's last performance was at the nursing home during a karaoke session. He somehow found the energy to sing. The nurses and many of the other patients by then knew his story and cheered him on. Afterward, with the recorded music playing in the background, he danced with both of his sisters. Unlike most dying patients with time to think and plan, Ron did not clamor for a minister to hold his hand and hear his final confessions and prayers. He knew the scriptures as well as any preacher. His foundation in the gospel was solid. Perhaps he'd strayed more than most, but he was sorry for that, and it was forgotten. He was ready. There had been a few bright moments in his 5 years of freedom, but it had generally been unpleasant. He had moved 17 times and had proven on several occasions that he could not live alone. What future did he have? He was a burden on Annette and Renee. He had been someone's burden for most of his life, and he was tired. Since death row, he had told Annette many times that he wished he'd never been born, and that he wanted desperately to just go ahead and die. He was ashamed of the misery he had caused, especially to their parents, and he wanted to go see them, to say he was sorry, to be with them forever. Soon after his release, she found him standing in her kitchen one day, trance-like, staring through a window. He grabbed her hand and said, "Pray with me, Annette. Pray that the Lord will just take me home, right now." It was a prayer she couldn't complete. When Greg Wilhoit arrived for the Thanksgiving holidays, he spent 10 straight days with Ronnie. Though Ron was rapidly slipping away and heavily sedated with morphine, they talked for hours about life on the row, horrible as always, but now the source of some belated humor. By November 2004, Oklahoma was executing condemned men at a record pace, and many of their old neighbors had finally been laid to rest. Ron knew a few would be in heaven when he got there. Most would not. He told Greg that he had seen the best of life and the worst. There was nothing else he cared to see, and he was ready to go. He was completely at peace with the Lord, Greg said. He had no fear of death. He just wanted to get it over with. When Greg said goodbye, Ron was barely conscious. The morphine was being used generously, and death was only days away. Ron's quick demise caught many of his friends off guard. Dennis Fritz passed through Tulsa but couldn't find the nursing home. He planned to return soon for a visit but didn't make it in time. Bruce Leba was working out of state and had temporarily lost contact. Almost at the last moment, Barry Scheck paid a visit, by phone. Dan Clark, an investigator who had worked on the civil case, rigged up a speakerphone, and Barry's voice filled the room. It was a one-way conversation. Ron was heavily medicated and almost dead. Barry promised to be there soon, to catch up on the gossip, and so on. He got a smile from Ron and a laugh from the others when he said, "And Ronnie, if you don't make it, I promise you we'll eventually get Ricky Joe Simmons." When the visiting was over, the family was called in.